You're listening to Donuts and Top Cow.
Two great tastes that taste better together.
Thank you for listening. You're listening to episode 18 of Donuts and Top Cow.
Yay, we're legal.
Yeah, finally. We waited so long. We still can't wait for 21, but this is a good step forward. My name is John Grigas. I'm one of your co-hosts today.
I'm Josh Crawley.
And again, thanks for listening. We're going to talk about Netherworld today, which first issue just came out recently. You should still be able to grab it at your local comic shop. And it has... we'll talk a little bit about it in a little bit, but this is a book that had a lot of lead-up promotion on the social media from Top Cow, so I want to talk about some of the impact of that. But first, I want to push our contest for this month. This is May, and by the time you listen to this, if you listen to it when it comes out, you'll have a few more days to get in on our May contest. And the only thing you have to do is follow us on Twitter. And our Twitter handle for the show is DTC Podcast. So it's at DTC Podcast. Follow us this month, and we have a Top Cow prize package, which will include donuts in some form or another. It will include a signed book from a Top Cow creator, along with some other Top Cow and comic book goodies sent directly to whatever address you give us.
And before we go any further, I would just like to clarify something. Somehow it seems I have gotten this reputation for not liking Tyler Kirkham. I was sorting through some of my stuff the other day, and I came across a Tyler Kirkham sketchbook from Top Cow from like 2006. And I enjoyed what I saw in there. So, yeah, take that.
No, that's the problem with reputations, because it's just little elements of things. Because yeah. I know that Tyler Kirkham hasn't necessarily been doing it for you lately, but you were pretty clear that there was some there. He has some work out there that you've enjoyed.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So talented thing, and I always have to kind of choose my words carefully when something gets published that I'm not crazy about, because it's still even the artists and writers who I don't really jive with. They're doing something I cannot do, you know, so I have a lot of respect for their craft, and art is in the eye of the beholder, and one thing I know, Top Cow in particular, is not putting out anything that's junk, but they are putting out a diverse set, so, you know, if it's not your cup of tea, it's somebody else's cup of tea.
Tea, Lapsang Souchong.
Hey, that would go really well with donuts right now. We do have donuts from Woodman's, which is a small grocery chain in southern Wisconsin, and it's sprinkle day today. We got strawberry with sprinkles, we got chocolate with sprinkles, we got all sorts of things. We will put the photo up on the Facebook page.
That strawberry one looks very Captain America like. I'm assuming that's a strawberry one.
I think it might be. Oh yeah, that one there. Oh, it totally does. Yeah. So there's definitely some Cap donuts in there, and if you want to check it out, go to our Facebook page, find us, and we'll post a picture of that, or follow our Twitter feed. We'll post it up there. But speaking again of Twitter, we had a question from a listener. I'm assuming he's a listener. It's Randy Armstrong, and I am Randy85 on Twitter, and he asked, I want to read Witchblade and Darkness starting at the $4.99 trades. Is there a certain order to read when these books cross over? Which is a great question. And what's your take on, if you want to get up to speed on Witchblade and Darkness through the trades, how would you approach reading them?
Start with Witchblade Volume 1, the handy-dandy $4.99 version, Witch Hunt. Darkness starts around Witchblade Volume 5 includes the Firstborn miniseries. And then, so about Witchblade Volume 6 would be when you would want to start reading Darkness Accursed Volume 1. Though, if I am correct, the $4.99 version is currently waiting for a new printing. But if you can find one, definitely pick that up, because otherwise, you got to pay for a $10 one, and who wants to do that? Well, I mean, I would. It's worth it, but...
Still, that's a good price for a trade.
Yeah.
If you can get that retailer incentive one, that's good.
And then, Witchblade Volume 7 kind of corresponds to the next crossover, or event, really. Didn't really cross over. Broken Trinity. And the easiest way to figure that out is Broken Trinity Prelude is the first issue in both trades. And I would say, based off of kind of where Darkness Accursed ends up, its storyline's going, that kind of that one volume of Darkness Accursed jives pretty well with volume 6 of Witchblade. And then Broken Trinity, Witchblade 7, and Darkness Accursed volume 2 all kind of line up, you know, I mean, as well as they can, since it's not actually a crossover where it's, oh, hey, look, now here's part 2, here's part 3, tying into Witchblade like that, so.
They work pretty well together. I would agree with that. And then moving forward, I guess I would pick up the Angelus trade and slot that in right around that Witchblade Redemption, maybe right before Redemption.
Yeah.
Oh. And then that now Volume 2 of Witchblade Redemption has come out, and that's kind of pulling you straight into Artifacts. So, and now the Magdalena trade will come out, but the Magdalena trade's different. I think that you can read that anytime, anywhere. It doesn't really slip into anything going on in
other
titles.
And then there's stuff.
And then Cyberforce Hunter Killer trade, try to get that in just any time before you start Artifacts so that you can kind of know them a little better.
Yeah.
And I wonder if we're going to get something. We've got to be getting an ongoing or something with those guys soon, because of the way that trade ended. It ended with a lot of information for a lot of storytelling coming up.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I think at one point I'd actually even been theorizing as to who they would get to draw it and what would go on. Yeah, because I'd be happy with like a bi-monthly.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm generally happy with stuff coming out on a regular frequency, even if it isn't monthly.
Yeah, so. Whatever that frequency is, just a predictable kind of thing. So, Randy, I hope that helps give you a little guidance on how to approach these books as you come through. And I'm jealous because that's fun to read through these the first time, although I'm about to do it for about the third time to read through them again. So, and every time you read them, you get a little bit more. So I'm a big fan of rereading stuff. So thanks for that, and keep in touch and keep sending comments and questions. We're interested. Also, just one other thing, Twitter-wise, Jason Punswick, who is local here to Madison, got into a little back and forth with Jason over the weekend. He had listened to our show with, basically enjoyed a brownie and listened to our show and called it a pretty good time. So I had asked him what the next, you know, what the next menu item would be, and proposed, because he is in the pizza industry, that he should come in for a studio visit and we can make it pizza and Top Cow. He liked that idea. Sound like you liked it as well.
Yeah, I'm not going to turn down pizza.
So we'll keep the pressure on Jason and try and get him in the store sometime.
Pizza goes well with beer.
Pizza does. So we're looking at an evening taping, I think, with Mr. Punswick. And thanks for the comments and listening, and we'll look for that. We also have, we've got a couple other listeners. One thing I was thinking, and we haven't really talked about this, but I'm seeing other creator interviews and things like that on other podcasts, and we do want to do some of that, but it's kind of been my interest in doing stuff in person when we have a chance, as opposed to over the phone.
Yeah. That way everyone can partake in donuts, too.
And maybe that's the key, you know? It's that camaraderie of donuts and snacks and stuff. Yeah. So,
I mean, every other podcast can call someone up and interview them, but how many other podcasts eat donuts while they record and then share them?
That's right. So good reason to come on in. And we do plan to get some creator interviews in the future. We are lucky in the Midwest that we have several creators pretty close to us that we can either travel to them or they can come up for signings and we'll grab them. I know that I've got Phil Hester on my wish list, and you've had him here at your store here for a signing before.
Yes, so. Phil was awesome enough to come up for our first day open, actually.
Yeah, so maybe we can bribe him to come on up again. He tweeted out that he's open for projects starting in September, so he might have some time to get up here.
Yeah, so if you can hire people, you go check out Phil, because...
Yeah, that's a pretty A-list creator there. That's ready for some more creative goodness. So anyway, let's dive into Netherworld. Netherworld was really heavily promoted by Top Cow, although if you've been watching the Top Cow promos, you'll know it from the tagline, "We are all lost."
Bum, bum, bum.
And they did a big cover contest and a lot of kind of teaser images. They would just say, "We are all lost," and give a couple cryptic pieces of information, but not really let us know what Netherworld was or when it was coming or anything. Just kind of a standby and watch out for them.
That was actually, I think the cover contest winners were announced at C2E2 first at that handy dandy little panel, which I did go to, and I couldn't remember the name of the winner, the guy from Bulgaria, Bojidar Sabov. However, I mangled that. Yeah, so those are the third place runner-up and grand prize winners are all in the back of the issue, so you can check those out.
And the grand prize winner is also available as a variant cover of the book, and which I found to be pretty good. And it's kind of funny, despite the promotions, it kind of didn't resonate with me what it was about or why I should read it. So by the time it actually hit the street, it kind of fell under my radar. And that's a disappointment because I found this book to be definitely worth picking up. I'm recommending people kind of check it out.
Yeah, I don't know quite how well all that worked. I mean, I took part because who doesn't want to put a random, cool, "We are all lost" Twitter profile pickup? Yeah, I really like this book, except for one thing, which I will talk about after we go through the rest of the book. But
okay.
Yeah.
Netherworld is written by Brian Edward Hill and Rob Levin. And
creative team behind Pandora's Box, or writing team, rather.
Right, which was we did talk about that many.
I think we talked about issue 6 kind of in depth.
We did, and yeah. that was an enjoyable miniseries, I thought. And then art is by Tony Chastain.
Did the Witchblade annual this year. He did a Witchblade annual. I don't remember what year it was.
Volume 2, the most recent?
Yeah.
So yeah, it was like end of last year. And letters by Troy Pateri.
Oh, and we can't forget colors by Dave McKeag and Lee Luffridge.
And the colors really came into play in this issue quite a bit.
That was actually one thing. When I first flipped through this, I'm like, oh, I hadn't seen who was coloring it. But there were spots where I'm like, oh, yeah, that's Dave. My first thought was, oh, Dave McKeag's coloring the book. Because a lot of the palettes reminded me a lot of the stuff he's using in Magdalena.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see what you're saying.
And while I didn't find it really jarring, I did kind of notice at times where I'm like, this isn't Dave McKeag. And it wasn't until I kind of looked at the credits and then realized, oh, because it's not just Dave McKeag coloring it.
And the coloring palettes do, I guess I see what you're saying, they do shift, but in what looks like meaningful ways. The book ends with a scene that's in a nightclub, so you have very subdued, cool palette, a lot of dark shadows and darker, but it's kind of striking where some of the real brightness comes out. The book opens up kind of on a back alley in a major metropolitan area that is kind of some seedy areas of a city. And what's unique is that they show, they show the crime district, they show the red light district, they show some of these the underbelly of society, but the coloring is pretty bright for that kind of, and maybe it's because of all the neon and things that are around.
Yeah.
But
I was thinking even like some of the rendering, Lee and Dave render stuff a little bit differently, so that was some of what caught my eye. Like I said, it's not really jarring, it's not bad, it just is what it is.
So the book opens with, basically, we meet our protagonist, our hero, our, I don't know what he really is yet, but he's a bounty hunter type of guy, and his name is Ray. And the book opens up with him chasing down somebody that he's turning in for a bounty. And it basically does a good job showing his skills, showing his toughness, and showing a little bit about what this society is about. This isn't, this isn't your typical American city. The laws are different. The due process is different. So it really gets you into the differences of this world from what maybe we know, and establishes that as he catches a fugitive and turns him back in for his bounty. And right after that, though, he gets approached by an eye-catching character.
I don't know what you're talking about.
A woman named Alexis, who catches his eye and one way or another offers him a drink and a job, which he's skeptical about and not sure whether to take it. And it's to track down not a missing person, but somebody who is a person of interest who may be getting into trouble or be in trouble she's not aware of. So he was basically sent out to get a young girl who's working as a cocktail waitress or something somewhere in the netherworld and secure her for one party. In the meantime, as he goes home, there is another person who approaches him to hire him for the same job. So we kind of have that nice moral equation of, well, which person is really in the best interests of this girl I need to track down?
The shady dude or the young, attractive woman?
And
I'm going to go with the young, attractive woman. It's going to be more dangerous.
And even though the other side is a known gangster that's trying to hire him. So it's definitely, things aren't always what they seem. And you don't really learn a lot about this woman that they're trying to hunt down. But you do get introduced to her in a nightclub where she's working as a waitress, takes a nice little snort of coke and goes
back.
Heck
yeah, I was going to say, we know she does coke.
Yeah, so if we didn't say this before, this is not a series for the kids. I wouldn't pick this up for anybody who is
not
an adult.
Most stuff from Top Cow, especially stuff we end up talking about, usually not for kids. We should talk about Dragon Prince sometime.
Yeah, let's put it on the list. I agree with that.
Excuse me.
So in any case, he tracks down this person of interest and still hasn't picked a side, but he decided that he's at least going to engage her and try to figure out what she's all about. He finds her being confronted in the back alley by some guys looking to get a little too familiar and friendly with her. He defends her, beats them up, and then gets a surprise in the end that they're not necessarily down and out and ready to really take it to him. As she basically foretells that there's nothing you can do, we're already dead. So that was, I don't believe that we really covered spoilers in that. You really need to read the story in order to get the story. But I am suggesting to everybody to read this story because it's going in a ways we've seen before in other types of storytelling, but it's really well done here, and I have no idea what the next step's going to be.
It's kind of a noir thriller that ends on a cliffhanger. With good artwork, good writing.
Hard to go wrong.
Yeah. And the lettering. Troy used Comic Craft's Moritat font in here. And it's the first time I really recall being it used a lot. I actually do own the font myself. And it is awesome. I love it.
Yeah, it works here. So seek out Netherworld. Check out the lettering. Read the story. Give us your opinion. I've read it about four times now, and I've enjoyed it. It's kind of a quick read. Some comics take you a half hour. Some comics take you 3 minutes. This one's kind of in the middle of that. It's a fairly quick read, but in this case, you can go through and be a little more careful taking the art in on your second read.
Yeah. Though this is the one issue I kind of have with the cover, or the one issue I have happens to be the cover. There's almost so much texture and not quite enough contrast for me that it kind of seems to get lost on the shelf pretty easily. And the logo kind of has a little too much treatment. Wish it was a little bolder. Yeah, something about the cover just isn't working for me in those respects.
Yeah, but we're talking about the A cover, and I agree with you. The B cover, I actually haven't seen it in person, but just looking at it in the back of the book, neither cover really tells me anything about the story inside. After reading the first issue, the A cover makes more sense to me. But it wasn't the cover that made me buy the book. It was the, oh, I should read that because there's some kind of buzz and I think this might be worthwhile. And also, I know that the Image Addiction podcast has talked it up quite a bit. And they,
oh, those guys.
Yeah. So, and they interviewed Brian Edward Hill and Rob, and
I should listen to that one. I don't do a good job of listening to that, and I always say I should. I'm sorry, guys.
Yeah, there's only so much time, and I, you know, my commute's about 25 minutes, so I have about 40 podcasts to listen to a week, and I have, you know, 25 minute commutes, so I don't get to everything myself.
I listen to like one podcast a week, so I really should be able to bump that up a little bit, but I was going to say, with the B cover, though, I think, since there's so much just white on the top half of the book, that a nice big black logo probably would make it much more, you know, if you're looking at it on the rack, you're going to be like, oh, it's Netherworld.
Right.
Whereas the A cover, not as much.
And then it's one word, Netherworld, and I had been typing it out as Nether Space World just because of how it is on the A cover. So it's kind of split off on two lines. And basically that's why I missed it on the day it came out, because I was looking for Netherworld because of the promos. And it just didn't register on the shelf that that was the book I was looking for until I think I came back that Friday and picked it up, because I had heard about it and said, oh, wait, that did come out this week. So
I suppose if that's our only complaint about the book,
it's a darn good book.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And I do like that the We Are All Lost tag was actually used on the cityscape, which I don't think I noticed right away.
I just noticed it when you were talking about the cover. So I've just a few minutes into noticing it, and it's pretty cool.
Some people are probably like, wow, it took you that long to notice it. Well, I look at a lot of covers every week. Leave me alone.
So join us on Facebook or follow our Twitter and let us know what you think about Netherworld. We'll be looking forward to issue number 2. I'm not a wait for the trade guy, so I'm excited about reading number 2 when it comes out.
I'm usually a wait for the trade guy, at least, excuse me, as far as buying goes, but yeah, sometimes the benefits of managing a store, you just, I'm going to read this right now. So I do that.
So this is a fun one. If you're looking for a comic that just gives you a good story for some entertainment value and you don't have to remember all the continuity and who wielded it before, then this is a Top Cow book I'd recommend you jump on, and you've got time because issue 1 just came out.
Who are our sponsors? I don't think we've done that yet today.
That is true. We have a couple sponsors now, actually. Our first and main sponsor is Westfield Comics. Westfield can be found at westfieldcomics.com. If you want your monthly pull list sent to your door with a nice 20% discount, then go to westfieldcomics.com and they'll dial you in. If you're in Madison, Wisconsin, Westfield has 2 retail stores. You can see Josh at the East Side store on Willie Street, and there is also another store on the West Side near the Westtown Mall off of Mineral Point Road. We also have prizes that are being provided by DriveThruComics.com. DriveThruComics has digital downloaded comics in PDF format, and they have a large library of Top Cow titles. Over 300 Top Cow titles are available at DriveThruComics. And we had recorded some of your customers and a few of our listeners who came by and on Free Comic Day. And we have another one that we're going to listen to now. And why I bring that up in relation to Drive-Thru Comics is that everybody who read for us is going to be in a drawing, and we'll announce the winner on next week's show. But they're going to be in a drawing for a free copy of the Cyberforce Hunter Killer trade paperback. Cool. As a download. So the winner will be emailed the code to download that trade, and we thank DriveThruComics.com for providing that prize.
That's DriveThruComics. Yes, I got all those letters correct. Yeah, no hyphens or nothing. Through's the short handy version. I was actually looking the other day. I believe there are over 25 free Top Cow comics.
There are a lot of free comics on there. So if you're not quite so sure about digital download comics, go grab a couple free ones at drivethroughcomics.com and see if that works for you. And you get to download the file, and as I said, they're in PDF format, so you'll be able to use them on a wide variety of readers and computers. And I have become more and more used to it as I've tried through.
I'm Pete Formeller from Madison, Wisconsin. I'm reading Curator. When Manhattan tourists turn down the wrong street corner, they may stumble into a humble curio shop, hotbox with incense and cluttered with ancient knickknacks, obscured under a film of dust and spiderwebs. This little store that millions of pedestrians blindly pass on their way to their morning coffee or the train is the epicenter of our universal conflict. Owned and operated by an elderly Chinese man who refers to himself only as the curator. Artifacts older than our world itself are available for those who are meant to bear them, and occasionally to those who want to purchase them. Not much is known about the true identity and history of the curator. Still, he remains Sarah Pizzini's only go-to source for information on the Witchblade and the other 12 artifacts. But to visit the curator in search of answers is to leave with more questions.
So thanks for listening. Have a great week.
Good journey.